thank you for listening to this sermon from Goodwill Church, located in New York's Hudson Valley. Goodwill Church is on a mission to be a hub of revival in the Northeast and beyond. For more information about our church, please visit goodwillchurch.org. Now, here's the sermon.
So the year 2025, we're spending the whole year in the book of Psalms with the occasional Sundays here and there where we preach from a different book. But the primary focus this year is the book of Psalms. And today we're going to be looking at Psalm 107. Psalm 107. So if you have your Bibles with you, and I hope you do, let's open up to Psalm 107. And if you're able to stand, let us all rise for the reading of God's holy and inerrant word. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord tell their story. Those he redeemed from the hand of the foe, those he gathered from the lands, from east and west, from north and south. Some wandered in desert wastelands, finding no way to a city where they could settle. They were hungry and thirsty, and their lives ebbed away. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. He led them by a straight way to a city where they could settle. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for mankind. For he satisfies the thirsty and fills the hungry with good things. Some sat in darkness, in utter darkness, prisoners suffering in iron chains, because they rebelled against God's commands and despised the plans of the Most High. So he subjected them to bitter labor. They stumbled, and there was no one to help. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them from their distress. He brought them out of darkness, the utter darkness, and broke away their chains. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for mankind. For he breaks down gates of bronze and cuts through bars of iron. Some became fools through their rebellious ways and suffered affliction because of their iniquities. They loathed all food and drew near the gates of death. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them from their distress. He sent out his word and healed them. He rescued them from the grave. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for mankind. Let them sacrifice thank offerings and tell of his works with songs of joy. Some went out on the sea in ships. They were merchants on the mighty waters. They saw the works of the Lord, his wonderful deeds in the deep. For he spoke and stirred up a tempest that lifted high the waves. They mounted up to the heavens and went down to the depths. In their peril, their courage melted away. They reeled and staggered like drunkards. They were at their wits' end. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he brought them out of their distress. He stilled the storm to a whisper. The waves of the sea were hushed. They were glad when it grew calm, and he guided them to their desired haven. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for mankind. Let them exalt him in the assembly of the people and praise him in the council of the elders. He turned rivers into a desert, flowing springs into thirsty ground, and fruitful land into a salt waste because of the wickedness of those who lived there. He turned the desert into pools of water and the parched ground into flowing springs. There he brought the hungry to live, and they founded a city where they could settle. They sowed fields and planted vineyards. They yielded a fruitful harvest. He blessed them, and their numbers greatly increased, and he did not let their herds diminish. Then their numbers decreased, and they were humbled by oppression, calamity, and sorrow. He who pours contempt on nobles made them wander in the trackless waste. But he lifted the needy out of their affliction and increased their families like flocks. The upright see and rejoice, but all the wicked shut their mouths. Let the one who is wise heed these things and ponder the loving deeds of the Lord. Thank you, Father, for these great words, this beautiful song. As we look to your word today, may we look to you with thankfulness in our hearts today. Thank you for who you are. Thank you for saving us. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for being here with us today. In your name we pray. Amen. Well, please be seated. So if you had to summarize today's psalm, it's about God rescuing us, God coming to our rescue. And I don't know about you, but many of us should have a rescue story where God showed up. Because the pattern of our lives is like this. We get into trouble. And we hit a dead end. And then we cry. And somehow, despite our sinfulness, and even though we don't deserve it, God hears us. And then God rescues us. And then today's psalm teaches us that we need to be thankful. And then we follow that pattern over and over again. Then we get into trouble again. Then we cry out to God. Then he rescues us. And then we are reminded that we need to thank God. Over and over again, we need to thank God. So if you read through the psalm, or if you read through the book of Psalms, you're going to see that phrase over and over again as well. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. We saw that last week. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. It's a reminder for God's people to give thanks. Why? Because he is good. And his love endures forever. So as we're giving thanks to God, we are also reminding ourselves that he is good and his love is forever. That's who our God is. But I don't know about you, but for me, I always tend to focus on the negatives. Even today, before we came out, I was praying with the praise team. And instead of being thankful for all these great things that are happening in my life, I'm focusing on the negative. Like winter is coming. Why, Lord? The sun is rising later and later each day, and it's setting earlier and earlier every day. But instead of being thankful for the sun that we have and the beautiful weather that we have, I'm just focusing on the negative. And of course, the worship team reminded me, let's give thanks to the Lord, right? So we have a tendency to focus on just the why me's. And why is that? It's because for most of us, we believe that we're entitled to God's blessings. We think that if I do A, B, and C, then God needs to give me A, B, and C. I give God time, he needs to listen to me. Oh, I come to church every week. He needs to bless my life. We feel as we are entitled. So when we receive blessings from God, we take it for granted. Why? Because we know that we deserved all this. But the minute bad things happen or challenging situations hit our way, what is our response? Our response is looking up to God and say, why? Don't you hear that a lot? Why would a loving God, we just said it, his love endures forever, right? Why would a loving God allow such negative things to happen in my life? People who have issues coming to church is basically struggling with that. A loving God is not blessing those who are doing good. That's our challenge today, which is very interesting because there are other parts of the world where they think the opposite. When challenges hit their way, their thinking is not, well, God is love, what's going on? They start looking at their own lives and say, what have I done to deserve this? What did I do to deserve this? A lot of Asian thinkings are like that. Because their assumption is they're not entitled to receive blessings. So when negative things hit their way, they just think, I must have done something wrong. Now that's not right either, right? Because how do they apply, give thanks to the Lord for he is good and his love endures forever? Well, we're going to look at that today. We're going to look at giving thanks to God in all circumstances because God is God, God is good, and we're not. We're not God, and we're not good. So let's look at this. Derek Kidner, who is a commentator and also a pastor, titled this psalm, God to the Rescue. And the context of this psalm is, what is it? It's the return of God's people from exile. And you see that even in the first three verses. This is a response after returning from exile. This is God's people. So it says here, give thanks to the Lord. It's a reminder, give thanks. When you're raising children, you always teach them when they receive something, what do you say? You say thank you, right? Because why? Giving thanks is not a natural response for us. We need to learn to say thank you. We need to learn to be thankful. So we need to learn to be thankful to God as well. So we have to give thanks to the Lord. Why? Because he is good. Our God is good. And his love endures forever. Now, if you had a King James Bible with you, you would notice that that word endures is italicized, meaning it's not there. So that was added by the translators for us to have a better understanding of the text. But basically, what is verse 1 saying? His love forever. Sometimes I think that's good enough, right? His love forever. And what love is this? This is not mushy love. This is his covenant love. This is unbreakable love. This is God's love towards his people. So that is forever. So if you can't remember anything, just remember this one verse, that we need to give thanks to God because he is good and his love is forever. And then he continues, let the redeemed of the Lord tell their story. So we need to tell the why behind us giving thanks to the Lord. Our redemption story, our rescue story. Do you have a rescue story? How did God show up in your life when you cried out? As I mentioned in the opening of the sermon, that cycle of getting in trouble, crying out, God showing up, and us giving thanks, that cycle happens over and over again. So we must have one that we need to share with one another. Even if your whole life is falling apart right now, if you look back, you'll see that when you're in trouble and you cried out, God showed up. So we do have this God story that we could share and we need to share. Don't just focus on all the trouble that's happening in your life. Let's focus on what God is doing in our life and what he has done in our life. Amen? Let's also focus on what he's going to do in our life. How do we do that? We have the word of God. We have the promises of God. So we know what he's going to do. And if you look at the past, present, and future, our only response is praise. Our only response is being thankful. Amen? That's who our God is. Because he gathered from the lands, from the east and the west, from north and south. So he gathered his people from all over who were in exile. So verses 1 to 3 is the opening exaltation. And then, I don't know if you noticed it when I read through the entire psalm, but the psalm goes through four different stories. And they all begin with the word some. And so just like last week, we're not going to go verse by verse, word by word, but we're going to look at each story as a whole. So I know what some of you are thinking. You said four stories, but you see five boxes up there, where the fifth box is basically talking about who God is, the sovereignty of God. And so it's a concluding section, but it doesn't really fit with the last. Well, it does fit with the last verse, but I wanted to separate that out. So we're going to look at five sections, the first four being the story, a picture of what it's like to be in exile, in suffering, and God rescuing them. Okay? So let's take a look. So the first section is from verses 4 through 9, where it says, some wandered in desert wastelands. So you're wandering in the desert wastelands. So what is the situation here where you're lost? You don't have a home. You're in the wastelands where you're hungry and thirsty. But in all four stories, you're going to notice a then. So they're wandered, they're wandering, they're homeless. Essentially, they're homeless. They don't have a home. They're looking for a home. But in verse 6, it says, then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. So, what took place before God delivering them? They cried out to the Lord. So, are you in trouble? Cry out to God. Are you lost? Cry out to God. Are you all alone? Cry out to God. And he will deliver you. It says here, he led them by a straight way to a city where they could settle. And then, we see this as well in all four stories. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for mankind. For he satisfies the thirsty and fills the hungry with good things. That's who our God is. So if you're lost, cry out to him. He will rescue you. And of course, our response to his rescuing is what? Giving thanks to him. So when you're lost like this, and when you're in the wasteland, what is it that you need? Tim Keller says, well, of course, they need a father. They need to be home. They don't need anything else in that situation. They need a father to welcome them home. I'm picturing Luke 15. When the prodigal son came home, he was basically broke. He had nothing left. No pride, no money. He just came home. And he was willing to just work for his father. And what does his father say? Welcome home, son. That's the picture I have here right now. So we need a spiritual father. We have a spiritual father. So let's look to him. Amen? Let's look at the next picture. Verses 10 through 16 talks about being in prison. It starts by saying some sat in darkness, in utter darkness. They were in the pit. Why? As prisoners suffering in iron chains. So if the first story was about wanderers being lost in the desert, in the wilderness, the second one is about being prisoners, being imprisoned. And as prisoners, what? When you're a prisoner, you're stuck. You know? So when you're in prison, what do you need? A father is not going to help you. You need somebody to rescue you, liberate you from prison. Look at verse 13. It says, then they cried to the Lord in their trouble. Does that sound familiar? And he saved them from their distress. He broke them out of darkness, the utter darkness, and broke away their chains. So he set them free. And of course, verse 15 says what? Let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for mankind. For he breaks down gates of bronze and cuts through bars of iron. So in this case, God shows up and liberates, sets the prisoners free. Sometimes we feel like we are in prison because of our sin. Sometimes we feel like we've committed such a sin that God will never forgive us. He'll never forgive me. No, that is not true. Read the text. If you feel like you're in utter darkness, not just darkness, but the worst, utter darkness, if you cry out to him, he will save you. He'll give you a reason to be thankful and to praise God. Cry out to him. Amen? So what do you need when you're in prison? Like I said, it's not a father. So Keller says, well, you need a king. You need a king who will come and liberate you. You need a king who will come and rescue you. And so that's what you need. Let's look at the third story. In verses 17 through 22. Well, it's talking about those who are sick, the sick. See how it says in verse 17, some became fools through their rebellious ways and suffered affliction because of their iniquities. They loathed all food and drew near the gates of death. So in this case, it's indicating that their illness was a result of foolishness. And they were sick, nearing death, it says here. So when you're sick, when you're nearing death, what do? You cry to the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them from their distress. There it is again. They're in trouble. What kind of trouble are they in? Well, this time they're sick. So when you're sick, what do you need? Do you need a father? No. When you're sick, Do you need a king? Is a king going to help you when you're sick? No. When you're sick, you need a healer. Right? You need a healer. But it's interesting how God heals. Look at verse 20 with me. It didn't say he healed him right away. He sent a doctor. No. What did he send? He sent out his word. Isn't that interesting? His word is what was needed for healing. The truth is what was needed. So not only do you need a healer, you need somebody who would speak the truth in you. You need a counselor in you. So after sending out his word, he healed them and rescued them from the grave. No one plans on being sick. You don't have control over being sick or not. It was funny because I was on YouTube. I watch a lot of preachers, and I listen to a lot of sermons. And maybe because I listen to a lot of sermons, their algorithm keeps showing me self-help motivational speakers, right? And so I listen to them, and they all have a voice like this. And they all say, don't forget about what you don't have control over. Focus on what you have control of. You can control you. And to that I said, no, you cannot. Can you control illness? Can you control like what's going on in you? No, you can't. So all that to say, stop listening to the self-motivational speakers. Go to God. Cry out to him, because that's what you and I need. Amen? When you cry out, what happens? This is the third time we're seeing this. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them from their distress. It's not they cried out. They made all these promises to God. They did all these good works. And because they did all these good works, God showed up. No. The only thing they did was they cried out. Why? Because they were in trouble. No way out. There's no way out. What do? You cry to God. Don't try to fix the situation because you can't. You can't even fix yourself. Cry out to him. Don't take shortcuts. Don't cheat. When you're stuck, you cry out. When you're in trouble, you cry out. And he will rescue you. And of course, after he rescues, what do we need to do? What do you say? You say thank you. Verse 21, let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for mankind. Even when we're thankful, I believe we don't express it enough. How do you give thanks to God? By worshiping him, by following his ways, by telling people about him. Let them sacrifice thank offerings and tell of his wonders with songs of joy. Don't keep it to yourself. Tell people about it. I guess it's raspberry season here in Beacon, or at least this season, it's a very good season, so you can go up the mountain, and maybe the season's almost over, but you could pick raspberries. You know, so I was talking to somebody from Beacon a couple weeks ago, and he was telling me about, oh yeah, Pastor Jay, if you go up this area, you could just pick raspberries, and it's really good. And he said, oh, by the way, my kids didn't want me to tell you that because it's their little secret, you know? There's no secret when it comes to what God's doing in our lives. Amen? We got to tell people about it. God showed up. I was in trouble. I had nowhere to go. The whole world was telling me I'm an idiot for crying out to God, but I cried out to God. And guess what happened? He saved me from my distress. And let me tell you about it. Let's look at the fourth one. This one says, the storm tossed. It's a little longer section. So the first set of verses says here, it says, some went out on the sea in ship. You know, in the Old Testament, whenever you see the ocean, the sea, it's never a vacation. Sea represents the unknown. People feared the sea because they had no control over the sea. A calm body of water could just go berserk in an instant. So that's what we need to understand. Some went out on the sea. And they experience this storm that comes. And then let's look at the next set of verses in verse 28 to 31. In their trouble at sea, what do? Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble. Do you see a pattern here? And he brought them out of their distress. Same thing. They're at sea. They were saved from overwhelming waters. Sometimes when challenge after challenge hit us, what do we say? We're entering into a storm. It's the same idea here. We have no control over the storm. We have no control over the weather. We have no control over the storms in our lives as well. So when the storms in our lives hit us, what do? We try our best to calm the storms, but we can't. But here's the solution. Cry out to the Lord, and he'll bring you out of your distress. What does God do? He stilled the storm to a whisper. The waves of the sea were hushed. It's reminding me of Jesus and his disciples in the storm, right? In the middle of the storm. He was sleeping in the middle of the storm. And what did the disciples say? Do you not care? We're about to die here, God. And what does Jesus do? He calms the storm. He calms the sea with his word. See the power of his word? With his word, he calms the storm. So go to God in the middle of the storm, and may his word calm your soul. And of course, what should be our response? Give thanks, right? Let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for mankind. So when you're in the storm, what do you need? You don't need a father. You don't need a king. A king can't certainly help you in the storm. A healer can't help you in a storm. So what do you need? Well, you need the all-powerful, almighty God. That's what you need. You need the almighty God who cares for you. You need an almighty God who could be a friend, who would hear you. That's what you need. So here are four different pictures of what it's like to be rescued from exile, to be rescued from our struggles. And I think we can relate to all four stories, can't we? Being homeless, being alone, not knowing, being lost. So we get that. We know what it's like to be imprisoned by our own sin. Sin has a power of just grabbing you and throwing you in prison. And you feel like you're stuck. There's nothing you can do. So you just wallow in your sin. You just live in your sin, thinking that there's no way out. Why bother? Illness. We could identify with that too. And being in the middle of the storm. So we could all identify with these four stories. So it's four different stories telling the same thing. What is it like to be rescued? How are we rescued? And what is it? We cry out to the Lord. And then the next set of verses, it's a conclusion of sorts. It's a lesson of God's sovereignty. And it also declares the goodness of God in how he transforms. So first, it talks about how he transforms the earth. He turned rivers into a desert, flowing springs into thirsty ground, fruitful land into a salt waste because of the wickedness of those who live there. So what is all this? This is he's turning good land into wasteland. And God has the power to just do this. So what we may think in our eyes is good, overnight, God could turn it into nothing. So what are you chasing today? Are you chasing things that could overnight turn into waste? But God also has the transforming power to do the opposite, turning desert into pools of water, parched ground into flowing springs. There he brought the hungry to live, and they founded a city where they could settle. So God will sometimes send you to a place where it looks like not paradise at all to me. Are you sure, God, this is where you want us to go? We can't see the way God sees. So wherever he sends us, we need to trust. Amen? Because the best place in our minds may not be the case the next day, the next month, or the next year. You just never know. The best job that you thought you've lost may look like the best job for you today, but it may not be the best job for you. Only God knows. Whether it's your home, your work, anything in life, what looks good today can overnight turn into waste. So what is our response to this? Oh, we need to trust and obey. Because God knows, amen? He knows. So in your disappointments in life, go to God. Cry out to him. And he'll listen. And he'll rescue. But not only will he rescue you, as we see here, he transforms. You may have grown up hearing that, oh, you're no good. That's a lie. But somehow we have a tendency to believe in the lies that were said over us. But God has the power to break those lies and tell you the truth, speak truth into you. And that is my prayer, that when you look at yourself in the mirror, don't look at yourself the way the world sees you. But look at the way God sees you. And you know how he sees you? As a precious child, truly loved, and he is pleased in you. If you believe in Jesus, you are his precious child. If you believe in Jesus, he loves you. And if you believe in Jesus, he is pleased with you. Amen? Yeah. So he's not only in the business of rescuing us, but he's in the business of transforming us. Another example between verses 39 and 42 is this. You know, then their numbers decreased. They were humbled by oppression. He who pours contempt on nobles made them wander in trackless waste. So he doesn't care about people's positions here on earth. But I love this. But he lifted the needy out of their affliction and increased their families like flocks. If you read through the Old Testament and you read about women who couldn't have children, the barren women, and the prayers they prayed, like Hannah, and you see how God opens the wombs and he makes the impossible possible. That's who our God is. That's his transforming power. So that's the God that we serve. He is almighty. He is all powerful. Yes, he rescues us, but he also transforms us. He heals us. He renews us, and he restores us. So let's be thankful to our God. Amen? Amen. And then the psalm ends with this verse. Let the one who is wise heed these things and ponder the loving deeds of the Lord. It's similar in the way how Hosea ends. Hosea ends this way. Who is wise? Let them realize these things. Who is discerning? Let them understand. The ways of the Lord are right. The righteous walk in them, but the rebellious stumble in them. So it's similar how it ends. Who is wise? What is wisdom? Well, wisdom, I like this quote. In the Old Testament, it's a transformed character through encounter with a living God. That's what wisdom is. It's not just being knowledgeable, but it's having a transformed life, transformed character through an encounter with God. That's what wisdom is. So who is wise? How do we heed these things? He says here to ponder the loving deeds of the Lord. To ponder, to think about, to consider God's loving deeds, his love that endures forever. Think about his love. Think about his goodness. And that's the call to us. That's the exhortation to all who believe in God. Think about his love. Think about his providence. And as you think about, as you consider, as you ponder his loving deeds in your life, in the life of your community, in the life of those in the Bible, our character will change. Our character will be transformed by the one who could turn good to bad, but also waste to good. Amen? So why should we give thanks? Before we answer that, let's just remember we are always going to be in a cycle of being in trouble. So if you're in trouble right now, your response needs to be what? Cry. Cry out to him. And when you cry to him, he will rescue you. And because, despite us getting into trouble because of our foolishness and our sin, and even though he doesn't have to rescue us when we cry out to him, because our God is good, and because his love endures forever, he rescues us. And of course, our response needs to be thanksgiving. Let's be thankful. Let's remember that our God is faithful, and he faithfully redeems and restores those who cry out to him. Are you lost? Cry out to him. Are you imprisoned right now? Cry out to him. Are you sick? Cry out to him. And are you at sea, just confused, not knowing what to do, where to go? Cry out to him. And he'll hear you. And he'll rescue you. He has the power to transform. He has the power to calm the seas. He has the power to rescue you, release you from prison, and also welcome you home. Let's cry to him. Father in heaven, we thank you for your love for us. Thank you that you are a good God. Forgive us, Father, for not always being thankful for the wonderful work that you're doing in our lives. So we pause today and we say thank you. Father, I want to pray for those who are in the middle of a storm right now. Whatever their situation may be, whether they're lost in the wilderness, whether they're just ill or imprisoned or at sea, I pray that you'll give them the courage to cry to you. And may you come to their rescue. We call to you, Almighty God. In your name we pray. And all God's children said, Amen.
Thank you again for listening to today's sermon. For more resources and information about Goodwill Church, visit goodwillchurch.org. God bless.